Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thank you for being here, podcast listener. That's you. Okay, I've said it before and I will say it again. St. Pete is so lucky to have the arts community that we have. The idea that most of the time there is something playing on a local stage or set is on display at a local gallery that is new, fresh, and exciting is one of the reasons I love St. Pete so much. It's one of the reasons I came back to this area of the world to continue my artistic journey. I love being part of the community so much. It's truly a gift. And I'll tell you what else is a gift. When I get to meet incredible artists from different parts of the U.S. who are in town to share their gifts with us. And that's what we are doing today. We are getting the jump on the upcoming visit of a playwright who is working with the studio at 620, which is my artist-in-residence home, as many of you know. Her name is Tina Esper, and she is speaking to me from her home in Montclair, New Jersey. Welcome, Tina, to Big Broadway Energy.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
It's truly a pleasure. Here at BBE, we are always celebrating storytellers. We speak to actors, directors, producers, caterers, and the definition I think every one of my guests has had is that they are all storytellers. I mean, you are a playwright, which I believe is one of the most important and rewarding, if not hardest, jobs in the arts. I have written some plays myself, and it's a process. And
your story, a process.
It really is. And your story is so inspirational because you jumped back into this work after raising your family. Talk to us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are.
I started writing plays about 15 years ago when my children were small. I have three children. And so I was juggling a freelance career. I was also raising my kids and I started writing plays. And, you know, it's hard to write plays, as you just mentioned, but I was getting it done. Once my youngest graduated college and I no longer had to be paying tuition bills, I turned the focus to my own goals and applied and was accepted to the Master in Fine Arts in Playwriting at Boston University. I packed up and moved from Montclair, New Jersey to Boston. It was a three-year program. The cohort was four people. And if you added up the ages of the other three, I was still older. It was a great cohort. We all really got along. And I wrote eight full-length plays in this three-year program, Tight being one of the last ones that I wrote. When you really want something, there is just a way that things kind of open up for you if you're determined enough. So that was my experience with this MFA program. I just graduated in May.
It's so inspirational, and congratulations on the graduation, of course. But
thank
it's
you.
Inspirational. Whenever I talk to people who have had a whole life, and the thing that was itching them young in their life, off the arts for a lot of us, has to be put on hold because of whatever else you're doing in your life. But the light is never truly extinguished. And when you're able to come back to something that has been, you know, for me, the arts has been a driving force in my life. And I've worked in corporate America, I've worked everywhere. But every time I get to go back and do this, it's truly a joy. And I'm on the same journey as you. I recently gave up my corporate career to try to do this full time. It's a scary proposition, right?
Absolutely. There's a fine line between foolishness and bravery. and you really have to like ignore those who are saying you're crazy and really, you know, stick to what you believe art is the right thing. And you'll always find supporters. The right people will come around to support you. You really have to trust the process. I was also in corporate America, and it's a very narrow kind of experience. You know, I don't know how many people love their corporate jobs. I have to tell you, it feels like since I went back for my MFA and really was able to jump into it wholeheartedly, I have not looked back. I feel completely rejuvenated by the experience. And I find that I am being met with a great deal of respect and camaraderie. I think that the arts don't judge you on age. I think if you believe in yourself, others will respect you and welcome you. So that's been my experience. I feel very lucky about that.
Well, I think it's true too that people support, you know, when they see people going on their true journey, there's just a lot of support there. But I think there's sometimes a little bit of envy, right? Some people don't have the courage you have to say, I did my due diligence and I've done my family responsibilities and now I'm going to live for myself for a little while. You're welcome, me. I think some people might have a little bit of envy there. I know people in my life do.
Absolutely. And I wonder why there's that envy. Maybe they don't feel like they have the courage. Bravery and foolishness are two sides of the same coin. The people who matter the most to me did support me. And my children were, I guess I raised them right because they were saying, go, mom, go. Oh. Do it. God,
what a great message from the people that love you the most. I love that.
Absolutely.
We mentioned that you went to Boston University for MFA. You're currently at work on the Jane Trilogy, which is a sweeping three-play cycle about survival, violence, and female reinvention. The first play in the trilogy, Neighbor Jane, is a co-recipient of the 2023 National Partners of the American Theater's Julie Jensen Award in Playwriting. Congratulations. That's quite an honor.
Thank you.
You were also a Tennessee Williams Scholar from the Sewanee Writers Conference and a fellow at the New Harmony Project.
Yes.
So those kinds of things, again, are not easy to achieve. And I think to your point, when you're able to live your truth and just unabashedly go for them, the universe gives you not only what you deserve, but what you need. I love that you just, you know, literally minutes ago, almost finished your MFA and you're on the road to such a sweeping success. Congratulations, Tina.
Thank you. And again, you know, I think it's luck. And I don't know if luck is just like good timing or destiny, but I'm not questioning it. I'm so grateful for all the opportunities that come my way. And I think what's interesting is I focus on the stories of older women, mostly women over 50, over 60 in the play that I'm writing, Tight, the comedy, which will be at the studio at 6:20, is about a 78-year-old woman. And I think the African theater is ready for these stories. They haven't always welcomed older women, but the tide is changing and I am ready to start sharing these stories with people. Most of my plays are dramas, and only in the last year in my MFA program did I focus strictly on comedies. That was because my mother passed away, and about a year and a half ago, 2 weeks after she passed away, I said to myself, I need to write a comedy. I need balance, you know, I need to, because my real life was just so hard at that moment. And I thought, I'm going to honor her and aspects of her in this comedy. And I'll tell you, it was like, I sat down and wrote it in like 3 weeks, that first draft.
What a catharsis plays can be. I agree with you 100%. When I see a play that touches me, or I write a piece that, you know, has been on my mind and it's finally on paper, or I share it with the world, or do a reading, or I see a play love that connects with me, it's like a balm for your soul. I think some people have never even had the gift to experience, right? And the fact that we're able to do it in a way that feels so visceral is, again, like, what a reward for us and our hard work.
It really is. It's so healing. Yeah. But I also think the things that touch us the most deeply are the most universal things ever, you know. And just thinking about the issues I raise in this comedy, what does it mean to be beautiful? And does beauty stop at a certain age? How beautiful do you have to feel or be to feel that you can be loved again? You know, and these are things we feel at all ages, you know, in our 30s. But how about in your 70s or late 70s when you're a widow?
Until you're dead, you're alive. That's so true. But let's talk more about the themes in your work. A good playwright tells the truth. And I think that's what connects people to a good play. And some themes that are really important to you include feminism and ageism, the often overlooked a group of people that are matriarchs of families whose children go away, whose husbands die, or there's a life change or divorce. This woman has lost whatever she felt was her worth. Think that stuff is so important. I have such strong women in my life. Anyone that's ever given me an opportunity in my life has been a woman I've admired and who has mentored. Anyone that's ever given me compassion, love, or equality has been a woman. I'm so happy that writers like you exist to remind all of us as human beings, without the strong women in our lives, who would we truly be?
Before my MFA, about 4 years ago, I went to a matinee in Manhattan and I saw a Broadway show And I remember after the show, I looked back and it was a story that centered, you know, like six 20 somethings. And it was a drama. It was a dramedy. I remember turning back and looking at the audience, and it was almost all women, all in their 70s or 80s. And I thought, you deserve a story that reflects what you've experienced, who you are, where you are right now. Where are those stories? Of course, they can appreciate a dramedy about 20-somethings, but I wanted to do some. I remember thinking, I want to write something that will really move you, that will really make you cry, that will really make you laugh, something that respects who you are today and everything that you've done so far for so many people. Why are these women being overlooked in theater? I didn't think it was fair. And I think that was the moment when I thought, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be writing stories that center these women, and not, you know, not the stereotypical grandma stories. I want these women to be doing daring things, foolish things, scary things, risky things, dangerous things, because the truth is, you can do all of those things at any age. It's not like you turn 59 and suddenly you're wise. You're still making mistakes. You're still learning. You're still experiencing things. And yeah, so that's why I'm so dedicated to the stories of older women.
I love it. I love it. And I'm so excited that we're talking too, because we mentioned earlier that you will be at the studio at 6:20. This is a brand new a program that the studio is starting to run, and it's called New Works. And before we get into talking about type, I want to mention what the New Works program is for our listeners who might not know it's out there. So it provides a critical platform from both national and local playwrights with a strong emphasis on showcasing innovative works in progress by emerging professional and underrepresented artists by centering new narratives that often explore contemporary social issues. And it offers a safe space for diverse artists to develop their craft and share stories that might otherwise go unheard. At the end of these readings, there's a community feedback session where, you know, the audiences are empowered to let the writer know what their journey was, what they experienced, what they loved, what they thought was challenging. And I think this program is such a perfect thing for the studio. Now, I've been working with the studio for 20 years. It is such an unbelievable place of growth for an artist. And it's so great that you are the very first we are highlighting here with new work. So, you know, talk to us a little bit, first of all, how you found Erica in the studio, and maybe a little quick summary about Tight and what audiences will expect.
Well, how I got to know Erica in the studio is through Kristen Clippard, who's a director.
Yes, who's directing.
Kristen read my play, unbeknownst to me. I received an email from her and she said, you know, I read Tight and I loved it. And I would love to direct it someday. I'm wondering if we could talk. And anyone who loves my work gets a phone call back. Kristen is great. I haven't met her in person yet. We've Zoomed a few times and emailed. And she told me about this wonderful opportunity at the studio at 6:20. And then I got on a Zoom with both Kristen and Erica. And Erica is great. I loved her immediately. We were on the same page with so many things. And connecting to the right opportunities and the right people. I've heard wonderful things about St. Petersburg. I've never been there.
It's a special place.
I would have visited St. Petersburg. There's something a little bit provincial about living in the New York City area where you, why do you have to travel anywhere? But I posted on my social media that I was going to be going to St. Petersburg to do this New Works Development Week. And I got private messages from a few artists who said, I love St. Petersburg. And I was like, what?
It is truly, it is such a surprise, Tina. I was raised here, obviously, but I spent many years in New York and back and forth. I moved there 4 times for my artistic life. This last time I came home and my friends, it was kind of during the, you know, Florida doesn't have the best reputation when it comes to the things that are important in the world, right? I tell my friends, St. Petersburg is the snow globe of sanity in the dumpster fire of Florida.
I love that.
You'll have a great time. It's so full of culture. It's so full of people who believe in the power of art and what it can do for changing minds and motivating people to look a little further, a little deeper. That's kind of why I love being part of this community and a part of the studio, is that we are always producing things that are making the audience have to look up and challenge themselves and question themselves. And that's really the point of new work, in my opinion. It sounds like Tight might be very similar down that road itself.
Absolutely. I think it feels like an excellent match. I'm really looking forward to the talk back and hearing what the audience has to say. You know, when you're writing, it's just you and your laptop and your thoughts, especially with the comedy. You really have to know if things are landing or not, even more than a drama, I think. So it's really important. So I was so excited that I got this opportunity, especially the people of St. Petersburg, who I imagine get to see theater, and it's sort of like a little New York City. I'm always looking for the little New York City.
Well, you are going to be welcomed with open arms. You're going to, I think, be very, very happy with the experience. Tight will be performed as a staged reading at the studio on Thursday, August 14th at 7 p.m. And after the reading, as we've mentioned, the audience can be a part of this creative process by staying and for the post-reading feedback session. And it's meant to be memorable and important, not just for the audience, but for the writer. It's a great opportunity for an audience to meet a working playwright. I think that's always a thrill. And it is always fun for audiences to actually meet. I remember a few years ago at the studio, there was a masterclass taught by Mark Medoff, the writer of Children of a Lesser God. And he was a friend of Bob Devin Jones, who used to be the producing artistic director. We got to talk to him after the masterclass for like 2 hours. He stayed as long as we wanted to ask him questions. And it was truly thrilling.
It's so funny that you should say a working playwright. Well, we all work, but we don't always get paid.
That's true.
It's a lot of work. I know playwrights who work and work and win awards, but they don't always have the opportunity to have their work heard before a live audience, right? I think ultimately that is the goal. You want people to hear what you've done. You want to see whether it's resonating in the right way. How does the audience feel? That's such an important, but most of the time, very hard to achieve, getting people to respond.
Without a doubt. I think you're going to have a really great audience. I know I'll be there with bells on. And I encourage everyone who's listening, if they've ever been to the studio or if they are a regular, please come and support New Works, because it is an initiative that Erica is it's close to her heart. It's close to our hearts as fellow artists and residents at the studio to continue to foster and lift artists up. My last question for you, Tina, and I ask the same question of all of my guests, and it's a little cheesy, but I just love hearing the answers. What does art mean to you?
For me, it's everything. I was meditating once about 25 years ago, and out of nowhere, during meditation, I heard myself say, I am an artist. The voice said, I am an artist. I was stunned that I said that unprompted. It was something that surfaced. And I asked myself the question, how am I living as an artist? How do I live as an artist? I think that's what started the journey where I began to write plays. I began to write plays long before I began to finish plays. Say it took about 10 years to really connect with the right people and teachers, mentors. But I think art is a journey. I don't know that everyone feels like they are an artist. If you feel you are an artist, you owe it to yourself to find a way to live your truth. And that might mean, you know, having to make some compromises, maybe not living the life you thought you'd be living on Fifth Avenue overlooking the park. Maybe you live a very simple life because you're dedicated to a vision.
That's okay. No, I love it. And I think you're right. And I think without it, we would be a different species. As we continue to see, you know, people trying to defund and people's trying to say it's a nice to have, not a must have. It's our job to remind people that it is a must have. Without art, what kind of humans would we truly be?
Absolutely. The art is a service to the community. Mm-hmm. Without it, I think we're beginning to understand that there's going to be a push to defund. I'm reading about all these wonderful programs that are getting defunded and what we don't often think that art is such a necessity, but I think it really is. And I hope that there's a real effort to dig our heels into what it means to be an artist and fight as hard as we can, keep making art, keep putting it out there, keep inviting people to experience what you're making. Fingers crossed that the tide will turn on all of this.
I think it will. With people like you and people like all of us continuing the work, we've been in this tight spot before and art will endure. But thank you so much for being here, Tina. We are truly honored to have you in our city to be part of the culture that is St. Petersburg.
Thank you, Stephen. I can't wait to be there.
less
than 2 weeks, I'll be there.
Oh, I'm so excited. As a reminder to everybody, Tight will be performed at the studio on Thursday, August 14th. For more information on Tina, you can go to www.tinaesper.com. And about the performance of Tight at the studio, please go to www.studioat620.org. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me at bigbroadwayenergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.